Our reading today is from Revelation 21, verses 10, 20, and 20, chapter 22:5. Sorry about that. And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, gracious God, through me or in spite of me, show up in this place in the next few moments and let each one of us know that you're here. In the name of Christ, amen. Got a question for you this morning. Have you ever been anywhere you didn't want to leave? I don't know about you, but it happened to Patsy and I when the boys were growing up. Over on Lay Lake, her mom and dad had this cabin in Rattlesnake Junction right down Mostella's Drive, and we would go there on Friday afternoons and spend the night, and we would stay as long as we possibly could Saturday, knowing that we had to get back and get in bed to go to church on Sunday morning. But we would stay there, and the boys would stay and say, oh, do we really have to leave? Do we really have to leave? Do we really got to go? And we would say, got to go. You know, it's time to load up and pack up and go on. But, you know, all of us somewhere have been some places we didn't want to leave. Same thing with the apostles. The apostles had some of those times. You know, those three that were up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, you know, when they saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus transfigured before them and shining as if they'd been washed with fuller soap, white as snow. They didn't want to leave. Let's just make a tent. Stay right here, all three of us. We don't have to go back and do anything else. But Jesus said, no, we got to go back. Happens to me all the time going to Camp Sumatonga. I mean, those of you who haven't been to Camp Sumatonga need to go. If you've never been, you need to go. But be careful. If you ever go, it'll snatch you up. It'll pull you right into the heart of that which is Camp Sumatonga, and you'll know when it's time to leave, you don't want to leave. There's something about being in special places and special times. And there are always practical reasons why we need to go, why we ought to go back. You know, we got jobs, we got families, we got responsibilities in other places, but every once in a while we just need to go back. In the scripture today, John is sharing the vision of vision for the Jewish people. The Jewish people didn't have the same grandiose ideas of heaven that we've got. You know, they didn't have all this stuff about when we die, we're going to go there. The dream and the vision of the Jewish people was that God would come back and claim his people and establish a kingdom, and Jerusalem would be rebuilt, and the kingdom would come here and now upon the face of this earth. But wow, you know, John is getting into it here, and he's speaking as only someone who had been raised in that faith could speak. That day is going to come when we don't have to pray to God. That day is going to come when we don't have to look for God. That day is going to come when the sun doesn't come up and the moon doesn't go down, because it's daylight all the time, because God and the light of God shines and illuminates all day long. He goes on. Nothing bad is ever going to come into this city, because everything that comes into this city is born of God and looking for God and wanting to be in fellowship with God. He sees that day when Jerusalem is restored beyond its original splendor, and sapphire and gold and all the precious stones and emeralds that he can think of line the streets of that city. No evil will come in, and there will be a oneness with God and all that is. It's the most awesome experience that the human mind has ever conceived. This whole notion about heaven and this whole notion about the kingdom, this whole notion about coming together as one people and living in peace, and the lamb lying down with the lion and weapons of war being beaten into plowshares, it's the most awesome vision that a human mind has ever conceived. And it captures our heart, and we want to get up and be a part of it. This morning, I would ask you, you know, isn't that what church is supposed to be? Isn't that what church is supposed to be? But yet we get up and moan and groan, complain. Oh, gotta go. You know, the temperature is going to be too cold. It's going to be too hot. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. I just got to thinking, you know, this is supposed to be a place where we come to meet God and fellowship with each other. That's what's supposed to happen here. We're supposed to come here to meet God and to be in fellowship with each other. We're supposed to be like John was that day. We're supposed to be carried away in the Spirit so that we're just caught up in this mystery of that which is God. It's here, of all places on the face of the earth, in the sanctuary of God, that we're supposed to love God and love all of creation and love each other, even as God has loved us. And yes, reach out in love to all the world. The phrase that we began a year and a half ago, meeting strangers, becoming friends, and ultimately brothers and sisters in Christ, is what the gospel is all about. And if anybody wants to argue that, I'll meet you out in the parking lot. Meeting strangers and becoming friends and learning to be brothers and sisters is what the gospel is about. It's what the vision is about. That day when we are able to see in each other a reflection of God Himself. That day when we embrace each other, not with any other notion, not with any other motive, but to be friends and to become brothers and sisters. Couldn't church sort of be like that? And I would say to you this morning, the answer to that is yes. Because worship is supposed to be an awesome experience. Well, if worship is supposed to be an awesome experience, how can we realize a new heaven, a new earth, and a new hope here and now? And I would say to you these words, behold the truth. Change your expectations. Quit putting so much stock in the musicians, as much as I love you. Quit putting any stock at all in the preachers, and start bringing expectations inside this building with you, that you come here with a full expectation that when I walk through the doors and I step on that holy ground, God's going to show up. God is faithful. God loves His people. And we've got a 6,000-year recorded history of that. God loves His people, and God has always shown up. Well, when I show up, what do I need to do? Not much. I did three things this morning that if you show up here and you come expecting to meet God and you do these three things, I will guarantee you that God will keep His end of the bargain. One is listen for the voice of God. Don't worry about the temperature. Don't worry about the lights. Don't worry about whether or not we didn't have a reader for the scripture this morning, I guess. I was dumbfounded. Ain't my time to go. You know, somebody else supposed to do this. Don't worry about the little glitches that happen all the time. They're human nature. Come in here to listen for God. In the midst of the distractions, in the midst of the imperfections, in the midst of our humanness, listen for God. And the second thing I would have you do is be sensitive to the presence of God. I shared with you a few weeks ago, God is present every time. I spent this past week going and getting me some of those little old pipe cleaners, you know, at the craft store, the colorful ones, because I love irises. I've got some irises you can't believe. I got yellow ones, I got blue ones, I got purple ones. I've got one they call the black one. It is so dark purple that it looks black for the first two or three days it blooms, and then it's got a little yellow throat that shows up. I got purple ones with lavender throats. I got a bunch of irises. So as we get ready to move, I'm going to take some of those with me. Some of those were my grandmother's. Some of those have been given to me by saints in the churches as we moved around. I'm going to move those irises. I had to be sensitive to it, and I got to looking at one this past week, and I could see God. Who else can make that little thing just sort of come up out of the ground and run that shoot up and then come down in these triple beards of all this vibrant color be on it? And I thought, wow. God's here, and I've been missing it all afternoon, busy and about the task. Come in here and be sensitive to the presence of God. If God's not with you right then, look for God in somebody else, because God has a nature of showing up. It is great to hear God. It is wonderful to feel God. But the most awesome thing in the world is to see God. And that's what John's telling us in that passage from Revelation today. And we don't have to wait till we die and go somewhere else to see God. We just simply need to, number three, look for God. How many times have you looked for God in the face of someone else? How many times have you looked for God in a kid running down the halls of this church? I see it every week when I go out for lunch. Those days I go out for lunch, these kids out here, they look like they're in prison. Sharon and I talked about it last night. They come running up on the playground. Hey, 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 what's your name? Where are you going? How are you going there? Our little preschool kids. Every day, it doesn't matter if they ask you yesterday what your name was, they're going to stop you tomorrow and ask you what your name is. Where are you going? What are you going to eat? How's it going to go? And it could be a distraction until you stop for just a moment and you realize that these are blessings of God. I once heard it said that a child, the birth of a baby, is proof that life is good and life ought to go on. If you don't know where to look for God, begin to look in the faces of our children. And you might even find out that you can see him in the person sitting next to you. Now, I'm not going to pretend to tell you that if we do those three things, it'll happen every time. But I'm going to tell you this, and this is an absolute truth. If we come in here expecting it to happen, it will happen far more often than it happens now and than it's happened in the past. But I will tell you that somewhere it happens often enough for me that I know you can hear God, you can feel God, and there are those times when you can see God. May it be that way in your life as you go forth from this place, listening for God, looking for God, and being sensitive to the presence of God. As we prepare our hearts for communion, won't you make it a commitment of your heart that you will begin today, as you come to take the cup and take the bread, to look for God, to listen for God, and be sensitive to the presence of God in all times, in all places, and in all people. And may you who have ears to hear, hear. Amen.